Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello, and welcome to this edition of Your Half Hour Inspirational Program. This is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to be on here only for 30 minutes. Every Friday night show is only 30 minutes. So it's a very brief program. Tonight we're talking about really part two from last night's show, which is when good comes out of bad. When good comes out of bad. So this is a show that, I mean, if you want to go back and catch some of part one, you're certainly welcome to do that by going into the archives and check out the archives on my website, drjwalker.com or drjessewalker.com, and listen to the dialogue that we had last night. It was a very interesting dialogue, and you may want to tune in because there was a lot of information there that people, I heard after the show, my co-host and I talked, and she was telling of the information that people shared was lightning. Basically, it was all my testimony. So tonight we're doing our spiritual component of it. And when good comes out bad, and let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Be with us now as we go into your word, and these and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. So here's when good comes out of bad. The Bible tells us that all things work together for good, for the good of those who love the Lord. You know, something that I've learned in my experience over my years of living is that there are oftentimes when we're listening to other people that share their problems and their experiences. And oftentimes when they come to us with so many of those, it's sort of as opposed to being objective, viewing those things objectively, sometimes we subjectively view them. And perhaps it's unaware that we're taking on some of their challenges. It's almost like the virus. You know, just being in close proximity enough with someone, you subject yourself to that virus out there, or if somebody has that common cold and you're within proximity of them, they sneeze, they cough, you can lightly catch their germs. Or even if in a relationship, if you kiss that person, you're subject to catching what they have. Well, I believe that it's the same way when we're within proximity, and not proximity in terms of closeness, but proximity in terms of that friendship or that relationship that we have with people. And I don't mean a romantic relationship in this case. I'm just talking about with friends, even family members. When you're finding that they're being rather morbid, you know, their nature is more morbid rather than happy and exciting and interesting, when they're coming across with that morbid spirit all the time, you may not even be aware that you're attracting that into your own spirit. And that negativity is what really takes us out. Do your own research, do your scientific research, do your psychological research, and look at laws of attraction and how things are magnetically inclined to be. If you, for example, if a kid grows up and he's only around negativity, then that's what's likely to come out. You know, and of course, there's always the exceptions. I had a young man, 11-year-old student, once tell me, he was in a program that I dealt with, And he said to me, he said, Dr. Walker, how do teachers and everybody else expect me to be good when all around me in that environment I see bad? He said, every day I see guys with guns. Every day I see guys robbing old ladies, snatching, you know, their purses, knocking them down. Every day I see nothing but violence. I hear nothing but violence every single day. So he says, that's the environment. And, you know, I was doing a study, and he was one of these subjects, and it was trying to show that, are we products of our environment? And my thesis was, if we grow up in that environment, we don't necessarily have to be a part of that environment unless our survival necessarily depends on that. And what I mean by that is, if you're in an environment, if you're a certain environment, and, for example, let's take language, for example. I've tried to learn Spanish for years, and I'm at the beginning of level 3. It takes you, once you get to level 5, you're pretty much bilingual. Well, I realize that when I go to a Spanish-speaking country that they don't speak English, like I was in Spain, then you're forced to take on that. You're forced to learn because your survival depends on it, and you learn faster. And I come to find out because I had to eat, and there are certain foods that I don't eat, like pork. And jamón in Spanish is pork, is ham. So I would go in and I read the meat, the contents of the meat, and where I saw the ingredients, if it's jamón, then I knew that that was pork. So that's how in 2 weeks I was able to survive over there in Spain. Because if you go to a restaurant, like a McDonald's, for example, and not all of them had the English translations, I had to figure out what was on that menu. So I had a little electronic device that helped me, that was my assistant to translate these things, but I knew what I wanted before I got to the cash register because I didn't want to hold up the line trying to figure out what it was that I wanted. Well, the same may be applied, and I use the word may loosely here, may be applied that when we look at that environment and my thesis, because you grow up in that environment, does that mean that those behaviors, certain characteristics that may be inclined to seem negative, does that follow you? Does that become a part of who you are? If you grow up in a house where they do nothing but feed you with negativity, do you grow up now and you have your family and do you do nothing but present that back to your children, you know, nothing but negativity? It is said that hurt people hurt people. So we find that a lot of people who are out here who have been physically or mentally abused, studies are showing that a lot of these people are inclined to be physically abusive and mentally abusive to others. Well, of course, you always have the extreme, and that's not always the case. In my thesis, I wanted to prove that just because you are in that environment, it does not mean that these behaviors have to make you who you are. It doesn't have to make you who you are. You can change. You can change, just like that 11-year-old. But they're required. They take certain things to bring about that change, and you got to have a positive support system. You know, there are so many adults out here, and I've had to even take stock of my own life to realize that, you know, how do I come across to other people? How do I come across? Now, science tells us, again, in psychology, that there are three ways in which we are viewed. One way is the way we see ourselves. Another way is to see how others see us. And then there's a third way, who we are, how we see ourselves, how others see us, and the way that we are. And it's oftentimes that third one that we find is so difficult to actually accept who we really are. And you know how you know who you are in some cases is when other people, that number two, have said to you certain things, more than one person, oh, you have a cantankerous spirit, or you're kind of mean, or you're kind of rough around the edges. When you're hearing this from people who are genuinely maybe family members or friends or who are really honest with you, and you've heard this from more than one person, and I use the word may again, some validity to that. So tonight we're talking about how good comes out of bad. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Let me go to the phone lines. Let's go to 605-202. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show, your half-hour inspirational program. Who do we have with us, and welcome.
Yeah, hi. My name's Joe. And
for joining us.
I don't know if you want to entertain my particular change of direction, but I'm an agnostic. So I'm going to ask you, you know, why would you want to believe in an all-powerful, all-good God that allows the bad to happen? And I know you're either going to say God works in mysterious ways, or we have free will. Now, do you have any other answers besides those two answers? Or do you just want to...
I probably don't, Joe, if you're agnostic, and I'm not saying that, you said atheist or agnostic?
Agnostic.
Which one did you say? Oh, agnostic. So you don't believe
agnostic.
And you don't disbelieve. Okay. Joe, there's probably nothing that I could probably say to you that would probably convince you otherwise. I think that when it comes to an individual spirituality or religiosity, I believe that it comes down to your belief system, to that individual belief system. And for me, that individual belief system is, I think that there's an order to things, whether we want to call that nature, Mother Nature, Father, or God the Creator, or Yahweh, or whomever we decide. But I just know that I couldn't put a sun 93 million miles away from me, according to science, or a moon 240,000 miles away from me, according to science, something that keeps the sun from scorching me. I know that I can create an ocean. I know that I can't create cells, which is what we're made of. And I'm just thinking, can man in the form that I know of, you know, can we possibly do this? And I say there has to be something that's part of an organized system. That if we want to call it a universal truth system, where there's this great mind, whatever it is, but I believe the only thing that I can say is, for me, this is what causes me to believe. And I would dare not ever try to convince anybody otherwise, whether they're atheist or agnostic. But Joe, I appreciate your thought. Now I want to worry in about a minute or so, and about when good comes out of bad. So we're going to put you on hold. Just stand by, Joe. Would you do that for us?
Well, I can.
All right. So as I said, I'm sorry, Joe, we had to continue because we're almost out of time. But let me, I do want to say this here. When good comes out of bad, and that is, I'm finding that, you know, we wonder, like Joe even mentioned, how does so many other people have even wondered, how does a loving God allow the bad? Well, I think that there are things that happen that because of the world that we live in and because of many of us who aspire to take on the label of Christianity, we believe that it's the evils that are causing these things. And then I believe that there's a loving God that like with the coronavirus right now, I believe that when at the end of the day, this is a self-evaluation moment that we can perhaps take stock and realize and say, listen, where am I going? What direction am I going in? If there were, you know, what direction am I going in? Am I doing what my purpose is in life? Or am I chasing money? All of a sudden now, certain things that, for me now, I can't speak for anybody else, there's certain challenges that I'm discovering that all of a sudden don't seem to make that big a difference. That don't seem to make that big a difference because this virus, contrary to what some people are saying or thinking, is not really discriminating. It's not discriminating. You know, even for the older people whom they thought that it would attack, certain ethnic groups, they thought, but it's really not discriminating. And so it's like, you know, we have all of these conspiracy theories that people are posting on social media. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's not true. I'm not a scientist. But even if you look at it, a lot of the scientists seem to be baffled with what's really going on. We just don't know. The governments are talking about reopening gradually. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. But I do know that this is a time that we can that we can take stock. And I would say this here. It's like I used to be an insurance executive. And, you know, when it comes to my belief system, I'm not speaking for nobody else because I can't. I believe this. They used to train us up in insurance to believe that, and I believe this still to this day. It is better to have insurance and not need it than to need it and not have it. Think about even your vehicle. If you're only covering the minimum for your insurance, and just think that if you're taking a risk and your insurance has expired or lapsed and it's a couple of months out there and you're driving, well, that's against the law also. But if you're out here and something happens, and you don't have the insurance, you're really, like they say, up a creek without a paddle. You're really, and we're talking about a steep creek out there. So I know that we may, on the other end, we may complain and say, well, my gosh, why am I paying all of this money for insurance and I never get to use it? But see, that's how life is. You never know what's around the corner. You never know. And with death, I know what's on the other side. I know we've been trained and taught spiritually, but no one has ever really gone beyond and come back to tell us, oh, man, this is awesome over there. Y'all need to just can't wait till you come. So I just believe that it's not the end, you know, and I'm not trying to impose my belief on anyone. I just don't think that this world is so organized. I'm talking about the creation of it now. I'm not talking about what we as man have done to mess up things. But the creation of it is so organized and systematic that, like insurance, I would rather believe in a creator that has supernatural powers. I would rather believe. And if that's what John 3:16 tells us, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, for God so loved the world, then just to accept that and knowing that I didn't create a sun, I didn't create a star, I didn't create a moon, I didn't create a universe, I didn't create the cosmic system, I didn't cause this centrifugal force to keep everything in order in place, I didn't cause the earth to move on its axis, you know, constantly moving. See, we're constantly moving. But we're moving so fast that we don't even realize that we're moving. That's how organized this system is. And so I would rather have that belief in the supernatural power that recognizes him to be in control. And we say him because of mankind. You know, I've never seen any documents to give it, say, her, except Mother Nature. And so it could be that, like we say, androgynistic person, male and female. It could be, I mean, it's whatever it is. When we refer to man, we're also referring to woman. Well, if it's a father, if it's a creator, he can have that androgynistic approach. He can be all in all. You know, like we have the printers, all in one, the fax machine, the scanner, and the copier. Okay, well, a creator, he's all in one to be whatever he chooses to be because it's his system. And so, like insurance, I'd rather have that belief in him than not have it and know that something is keeping me going every day than to denounce you know, a belief in him, and then be doomed for whatever else that may be contrary to eternal life. So if I'm going to take a risk with my own subjectivity, with my own life, that's going to be based on my belief. My belief. Now, what good can come out of bad? There are so many good things that can come out of bad. And if we just wait and see how this thing plans out, because the Spanish flu, 1918, you know, if we just take a look. But you know what? Unfortunately, sometimes we as man, we are limited in our knowledge base when it comes to the supernatural. And we tend to, it seems that we become so complacent with our thoughts that we're so intelligent. We can do this ourselves. But maybe this is a time when God is saying, you know, you might want to call on a higher power. You may want to call on a higher power. Well, and that's what I do every day. Let me read this story to you all tonight, and then I'm going to speak on it, and then we've got to close out. If you have a comment, a brief comment, you can press 1. Let's go here. Joe really was taking us in another direction. That I'm sorry, Joe, we were not looking to go in that direction tonight. I respect your views, your beliefs. I'm not sure why he chose to come on this show to share that with us. Because I look at my Friday night show as an inspirational show. That has nothing to do with our topic. So if he's looking for an argument, then, you know, you're not going to find it on this show. All right, so let me go here and read the story. And I hope that someone can get something from this. If you don't get anything else, I hope you get something from this story tonight. The character is Ursula. Ursula is the only character in here. And she's 27. She's a divorced single mom with 2 young children, whose husband walked out on her 2 years ago for one of Ursula's friends. This is kind of common. It happens more often than not, or more often than we want to think about. And, of course, these stories are all inspired by true stories. Names, of course, always change to protect the innocent. Now, since her divorce, Ursula has been struggling to make ends meet. She is constantly going through trials and tribulations and feels like there is no relief in sight. It appears that everyone has abandoned her for some reason or other. The only person that she can call on is her mother, just like most mothers, who has been very supportive throughout this ordeal. Now, here are some of the struggles that have plagued Ursula. Number one, aside from her husband leaving, she has really met financial ruins. I mean, she's really having it tough. Number two, Ursula is getting the bare minimum in unemployment benefits. You know how that goes. Number three, she has sent out her resume to over 36, that's over 36 businesses, and has not heard back from anyone. Number four, she lost her dream job. You know what it's like to have a dream job? Well, she lost it 3 months ago and has not been able to meet her financial obligations. Thus, she's in arrears for the past 2 months. Number five, her car breaks down every other day, and she does not have any money left to make repairs. Number six, her best friend is ill, and Ursula has no way to go to see her. Number seven, the children are in desperate need of clothes and shoes, but Ursula has no money. With all the struggles that Ursula is facing, she refuses to give up on her faith. That is amazing. With all of these struggles that she's facing, she refuses to give up on her faith. All right? So she feels that this is all a test, and she will get through it. With her faith at the forefront, she maintains her part by persevering in prayer and seeking work. So she's not just praying. She's out there actually doing her part by looking for work. On a nightly basis, Ursula has been pouring out her heart in prayer, wondering, why all the bad things? All right, here we go with the bad things. Why all the bad things are happening to her? Yet she is asking for the strength to meet the challenges she has been facing. A week ago, as Ursula was preparing what appeared to be her last meal for the kids, with no knowledge of where the next meal would come from, a cell phone begins to ring. Now, this was, we said a week ago, but it was a little longer than that. This was just over a month ago, in fact. Now, as we fast forward, what has taken place in 1 month's time after seemingly the Last Supper? This is what took place. You really want to get this here, and we're almost out of time. Number one, Now, this is just in the last 30 days for her. Number one, Ursula has received a new job as a supervisor based on her experience from the previous job. You see, when God closes one door, he has a better one for you. If he closes one window, he can even cause you to create, you know, open up another, he'll open up another window for you. If you lose out on an opportunity like her dream job, he will give you the creation that you need for something else. She lost her, now this job that she has as a supervisor pays over $25,000 more, that I said $25,000 more than the previous job. And number two, at this new job, watch this, Ursula became acquainted with the vice president of the company who happened, you don't want to miss this part. Let me read that again. At this new job, the one that she's becoming a supervisor on, Ursula became acquainted with the vice president of the company who happened to be her middle school first love, who also happens to be divorced. You see, I mean, one door closed, another one open. Who also and this man is an executive. All right, to be her middle school sweetheart. Can you imagine? They have become an item, and he loves her children because he doesn't have any kids of his own. With Ursula, number three, with Ursula's job as a supervisor, she automatically gets a new leased vehicle every 2 years as part of her contract. Number four, her best friend has made a full recovery from her illness. Number five, Ursula's children now have more clothes and shoes than they need at this point. Ursula is so excited with all the new changes she has been blessed with in such a short span of time, not quite a full month. Now she is convinced. If you persevere and you believe, you will pass the test because what may appear to look bad initially with perseverance and faith will ultimately turn out to be your good as evident of Ursula's dilemma. You know, so Ursula is not new at this. So we ask the question, what when good comes out of bad? What good can come out of bad? This story is inspired by a true story. I mean, here it is. Ursula's husband walked out on her, didn't support her with the kids. You know, car breaking down every other day. She just didn't have the money to even get her kids clothes or shoes. When she was at her last end, that last meal, not knowing where she was going to get that next meal, that's when God ties a knot. And he says, just pull up, I got you. And he actually, in fact, starts to pull you up. See, when man's limitations, with man's limitations, God, unlimitations, the fact that God is unlimited in everything, he begins to take over for you. But see, she never lost faith, and she persevered. She prayed, and she just kept pressing forward. And that, if you all out there listening tonight, and you're going through your crisis, it's a test. This pandemic that we're in, it's a test. You know, no matter what happens, any direction that it goes in, God's got you. He's got you. He's got you. But maybe this is the time to really take stock and establish a quiet relationship with him that's subjective and not let anybody come in and throw you off with their own beliefs or cause you to doubt or cause you to doubt. That's where a multitude of problems started to come in. It's when we begin to doubt. It's when we begin to doubt. And let me tell you something. With Ursula, I mean, this was so impactful for me. I'm touched deeply by Ursula's story because God has the power to turn your circumstances around instantly. Instantly. And then, you know, one of the greatest things that I took from this story, the fact that she reconnected with her middle school first love, and now he's an executive for the same company. You see, that has to be orchestrated by a loving God. A loving God, you know, because she prayed, she had faith. And I just want to say to you all as we close out tonight, what good can come out of bad? When good comes out of bad, if you continue to persevere and you continue to pursue, you know, your dream, this job here, she loves this job even better than the one that she previously had, which she thought was her dream job. But God will give you the desires of your heart. Don't take my word for it. Get into his word. I trust that this program has been a blessing to you as much as it has been to me. And listen, Join us back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, join us back here next Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Until next Thursday or until next Friday for the half-hour inspirational program, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.